Facebook restricts accounts to those 13 years of age and older, but a survey by Microsoft Research recently found that 36% of parents knew their preteen kids had Facebook accounts. Many of those parents, in fact, had actually helped their children join Facebook. Now, beyond the internet, cell phones offer benefits and hazards as well. Worried parents are happy to be able to contact children, but a smartphone also offers all the temptations of texting, sexting, and so forth. So how do parents make decisions about social media? What do they need to know? And if you have had some experience with this, you wandered into these waters, we want to know how you've navigated them. Did you let your kids find their own way online, or did you try to supervise their web surfing? And how well did it work? We'd like to know. Tell us your experiences at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Or you can post your comments at our website, knprnews.org. Joining us now to talk about some of her experiences is Courtney Burns. She is a counselor at Faith Lutheran High School and also the parent of a 9-year-old. Courtney, welcome to KNPR.
Great. Thank you.
It's part of your job to keep up with what kids are doing and saying, but you have a story of stumbling across a new app you didn't know about, and it turned out your son was using it. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that, you know, part of being a school counselor, it requires us to be tech savvy. We need to be current on what the kids are using as far as social media and how they're interacting with each other and kind of keeping an eye on things. And so I consider myself to be fairly tech savvy with what the trends are. My 9-year-old son uses an iPad for school. And so he knows that he has no right to privacy on that iPad, and I spend a lot of time going through it with him and restricting the apps that he's able to use. And at one point, he was asked to download a collage app for an art class, and I looked at the app and didn't think anything of it, and we downloaded the app for him. And about a week later, I was going through his iPad again and discovered that there was kind of this background social networking feature to this app that wasn't identified in the description, and people were able to come on and follow the collages that he was creating in an Instagram kind of manner. And it was just very startling to me that even though we can be aware and educated about what is out there with social networking, the scope is so much greater than what most parents realize.
So your son was sending out messages and posts.
He was having people follow him. He had some classmates that were following what he was doing, but what was the most startling to me was that there was a stranger on there, that this was an open application and people could look at what he was doing.
What did you make of that when you realized that was the case?
Well, it was a chance to have a great conversation with him as far as internet safety and understanding that people don't always portray themselves honestly on the internet. And someone that is saying that they are an 8-year-old girl that attends a neighboring elementary school may in fact not be an 8-year-old girl at a neighboring elementary school. And so that was a great dialogue. But it also reinforced to him that I'm going to continue to stay on top of what he's doing and be looking through what is on that iPad.
Okay, so does that mean the account and the app went out the window?
The account and the app was closely supervised until it was no longer needed for the class.
Okay. Sounds like a good solution.
Yes.
Now, also with us is Catherine Hertline. She is director of the Marriage and Family Therapy Program at UNLV, co-author of The Couple and Family Technology Framework, Intimate Relationships in a Digital Age. Catherine, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
We've heard about kids giving up on Facebook because there are too many parents and grandparents on the site. But how common is it for kids and teens to have new social media apps that completely escape parents' attention like that?
It's not uncommon at all. I think one of the things that you find in Courtney's example is that that application was buried within another application. And so as a result, kids who are not necessarily paying attention to what other apps might be associated with an application they're downloading could put themselves at risk to be contacted or followed by other people. What we know about kids and social media is that one out of every six will say that they have been contacted by someone that they didn't know, and that contact has left them feeling threatened or feeling frightened or uncomfortable. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty big number when you consider the amount of kids that are on social networking sites.
So short of eternal vigilance being the price of social networking sites, what do parents do? What can they do to keep up with social media startups?
One of the things that is really good about teens and kids and social social media, at least from what we found in some of our research, was that teenagers have a really good sense of how to actually monitor and navigate those sites with regard to establishing their privacy. While you see somewhere in the order of 90% of kids and teens are posting pictures of themselves, 71% are posting information about where they live and what school they go to and using their real name. I think 92% of kids are using their real name. 75% of kids will also tell you that they've had an experience where they've deleted friends or deleted people from their site. 30% of people have taken themselves off social, or 30% of teenagers have taken themselves off social networking sites altogether. So the teens are actually pretty good at navigating some of those boundaries and putting in some of those privacy things that maybe their parents don't necessarily know that they're capable of doing. So one of the things that parents can do is make sure that kids know all of the avenues through which they can maintain their privacy through those sites.
We are talking about social networking and parental supervision of social networking by our kids. And if you have had to make some decisions about that, we'd like to hear how you've handled the issue. What did you tell your kids? Did you let your kids do some social networking, or are you telling them wait for a few more years? Have you let them find their own way online, or are you supervising their web surfing? And how successful has all of that been for you? We'd like to hear from you at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also write to us through our website. That's knprnews.org. Now, Courtney Burns, Catherine was talking about alluding to bullying, a little bit of cyberbullying and such a couple of moments ago, and I presume you see cases of harassment or bullying sometimes on social media, and when parents are called in, they don't know anything about it. What do you tell parents, as a counselor at Faith Lutheran, what do you tell them about what parents should know about what their children are doing on social media?
Well, I think that many parents have a false sense of security about just how much they actually are supervising their children. Facebook has kind of created almost this false storefront for kids. The kids have learned, I'll open a Facebook account and that's where I will put the grandma-friendly pictures from homecoming, and my parents will believe that Facebook is how I communicate with my friends. And then in the meantime, their actual social activity is occurring on Tumblr and Instagram and Reddit and Twitter and AskFM and Yik Yak and all of these other things that most parents don't have a tremendous amount of knowledge on. I think the scariest thing that we're seeing are the apps that are coming forward and allowing kids to post things anonymously. We're seeing, you know, AskFM, for example, students can put their real name out and open themselves up to have other kids ask them questions anonymously. And the amount of just harassment and degradation that goes on that site is horrifying. There's no way to track who's doing it. And so it puts us in an awkward position at the school. There's really not any way to follow through. And so we have to be very proactive with kids and parents about know what they're doing. Go through the history on the phone. Go through the history on the computer. Have these candid conversations. Google your child's name and see what comes up as far as social media interactions. And then with the children, to be very strong with, no one has ever gone on these sites and at the end of the day said, my self-esteem has gone up because I did this. And so teaching the kids to be savvy enough to shut down the things that aren't helpful.
Although even if parents try to monitor social media, as you say, if the parents are watching Facebook like a couple of hawks, can't most teens just start a new account or find other ways to maybe tweak security settings, go to other apps, things of that sort, just to keep the parents out?
Oh, absolutely. Hmm. And I think, though, that kind of falls under common parenting strategy. If your child is going to be untruthful to you, if your child is going to find avenues around the rules that you've created, what's your boundary for that? And that boundary needs to apply to social media as well.
Yeah. Don't parents also face the dilemma of children needing internet access to do homework, to learn maybe, as you say, some apps sometimes that have to be downloaded, and yet then you want to try to police kids from talking to friends a lot of the time or spending too much time with peers and with strangers sometimes on the internet.
Absolutely. And integrating technology has been just amazing, and it's such a big part of what we do over at Faith Lutheran. And with that, though, comes the responsibility of teaching children how to appropriately use the technology and to not be distracted. We all know adults that struggle in their jobs because of the distractions on the internet. And so there is a huge responsibility in training children now how to appropriately handle that.
Catherine Hertline, you were going to add something.
Right. Yeah. I think there's some very good points brought up about people that you don't know who can communicate with your children via social media sites, but also via the cell phone. And you can look at the Pew Research Project online, which talks a little bit about internet and kids. But one of the other things that has to be maybe monitored by parents or maybe also addressed by parents and potentially the school system is that cyberbullying issue, not of just people that you don't know, but people that you actually do know. 1 out of 8 kids will report that they've been cyberbullied. And in many cases, I think in 20% of those cases or something, 20% of kids, rather, who report that they've been cyberbullied will tell you that a big proportion of that was someone that they knew that they had sent a picture to, an email to, a text to, some kind of communication privately, has then been put forth to someone else or has been distributed publicly in some way, shape, or form. And that actually constitutes the bullying. So it isn't just about people that you don't know. While that is problematic online, it is also about the people that you do know. And kids don't make real good decisions about what information they share with those people that they trust. So parents have to navigate it on 2 levels. They have to navigate it on the how do you manage your privacy settings to keep away people that you don't know? And then what do you do and how do you share information with people that you do know.
We're talking about children and digital media and wondering from your perspective as a parent, what's the right age? When are you ready to let your children join social media, maybe to own a cell phone? Call and let us know how you have handled this issue with your children. Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also tweet us at KNPR News. Or write to us online. Our address online is knprnews.org. We'd started this conversation with Facebook, just sort of alluding to Facebook because that's sort of the universal, I think, for all of us. And Courtney Burns, the site requires children to be 13 to join Facebook, at least officially. Is that the right age? You think that's pretty good?
You know, it really depends on the child. Mm-hmm. I think that prior to the internet, parents were always taking into account the child's maturity and the child's wisdom before they kind of granted them these freedoms. And the old, I'm going to let you go around the block by yourself, has kind of now applied to, or I'm going to start letting you have these supervised accounts online. I know that I have friends who have children who are as young as 4th and 5th grade who have Instagram accounts that are very carefully supervised, and it's a positive way for them to share pictures back and forth within a group of friends.
In the case of your son, your son's a little over 3 years, 3 years and change away from hitting 13. What will you tell your son as he approaches that age?
I think it's important that we really send a strong message to the kids that the digital resume they create is going to follow them. And so they need to be very wary about what they're putting out there, what kind of statements they're making, what kind of things they're alluding to, because it, more and more colleges, employers, things like that are looking at kind of what a child has created over their lifetime online. And so that's that guarding of the reputation, I think, is very important.
You could be unfriended, Courtney.
I know.
What if your son unfriends you?
Then he will find himself without internet access, probably.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Michael in Las Vegas joins us now. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you.
Certainly.
I grew up as the internet grew and was able to learn how to navigate all these different privacy settings and everything. But for the parents who aren't very tech savvy, I'm wondering if there's any programs or classes in the community for parents to learn how to navigate privacy settings and find how to protect their kids on all these various social media sites.
Catherine Hertline, are you aware of any programs like this?
You know, I'm not. As I'm thinking about some of the work we do at the university, I'm scrolling through my brain in terms of some of the courses that might be offered or some of the things that we sometimes offer as resources for parents, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head. That being said, there are probably people who would be willing and able to put something like that together for parents who are not as tech savvy, just to say, you know, here are some basic things that you need to think about as you're as your child develops and as your child ages. One of the things that we've talked about a little bit, Dr. Blummer and I in our book, was the fact that technology actually becomes a part of your family, and technology develops along with the family. And as long as, you know, your kids are developing and aging, technology is doing the same thing. So your relationship with time, your relationship with technology, rather, over time changes. So I think to learn as much as you can about Facebook or about social networking in one area doesn't, or in one snapshot, doesn't mean that you'll actually get it all, because, you know, 4 years down the line, there's going to be new technologies and your kid will be older and you'll have to address the relationship in a different way. So for me, it really comes to being about talking with your kids and saying, okay, here's where my kid is developmentally. Here's where my kid is in terms of their level of maturity. Here's their skills and abilities. And I need to evolve with them over time. So this conversation is going to continue to change.
Michael, what are you looking to learn? I mean, what would be really helpful to you in terms of programs and such?
Well, for me, I don't really have a problem with Facebook. I've grown up with, you know, I actually had a company named America Online in my basement when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And my dad ended up selling the name to a big company. But, you know, I've been online since 85.
Yeah, but, so you go back a ways, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but some of the sites I just don't use, like, you know, Twitter and Instagram, I just don't use. And, you know, I personally don't have kids, but a lot of my friends do. And, you know, they may or may not use those sites, but, you know, if you didn't grow up with the internet growing with you, you don't necessarily understand how to navigate through the sites to find the privacy settings. And, you know, you might not even be able to figure out how to log into a site to find if your kid is on there.
Yeah, yeah. Michael, thanks very much for your call. 702-258-3552. 702-258-3552. Courtney Burns, do you talk to a lot of parents who are kind of where Michael is in terms of not being sure which programs to use and which ones to pass by?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, at our school, it falls upon our technology coordinator, our IT department, and our counselors to really be aware of what the trends are. And I think that in parents seeking to become savvy with this, the trends are actually the most important thing. I see parents that will devote all of this time and energy to navigating Instagram when their child is having an incredibly active life over on Tumblr. And so it's important to reach out to the schools and kind of figure out where the kids are hanging out online. We offer parent nights throughout the year to kind of assist with that training. And we do have parents that will come into the office with the personal computer or the iPad and ask us to go through with them and kind of show them what they can do to keep an eye on things.
Catherine Hertline, speaking of keeping an eye on things, how do you know when the time is right to just kind of let your children go, to not monitor things carefully?
You know, that's a great question. I think you have to know your child well. Your child has to be able to have an ability to be able to manage the consequences that are going to come from computer usage. So, you know, for example, my son is 7, and he has told me he would like a cell phone at the age of 10, a computer at the age of 12, and drink soda at the age of 20. I was like, this plan sounds fantastic, right? But I know he's so soft-hearted that there's no way that he could manage any kind of negative, you know, feedback right now from any kind of source online. So for him, I would probably want to do some more prep work around kind of emotional maturity before I would just kind of let him loose and let him go. There may be other kids who are a little bit maybe more emotionally mature, that if someone says something online or posts something online, it doesn't bother them one way or the other. So they can manage those consequences differently.
Any specific signs that parents should look for?
You know, one of the things that makes the cyberbullying so difficult, or any kind of problematic online communication so difficult, is that parents so often don't know. For example, if you were being, you know, stalked by someone or bullied by someone 10 or 15 years ago, that might have involved a lot of phone calls to the house or something that was very obvious. With kids who are being cyberbullied, a lot of this is happening at night when their phones are kind of by their person, their parents aren't aware of it. So if there's a place where you could kind of notice whether your kid is withdrawing, notice your kid is kind of protecting their phone in a lot of ways, or, you know, doing some of those things that would indicate that there's a problem somewhere else. But it becomes real difficult. I don't know if Courtney.
Yeah, Courtney Burns.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think probably the most frightening thing about cyberbullying. It used to be if you had a problem with a person at school, you dealt with it during the school day, and you had your club sport friends and your youth group friends and your neighborhood friends and all of these other groups. And social media has connected all of those groups. And so if someone is saying something terrible about you on Twitter, everyone that you know is privy to that. And so we're seeing kids that really don't have a way to escape from something heating up. Everyone knows about it. Everybody's taking a side. Everybody has an opinion. And so what used to be kind of a minor argument is now becoming this all-encompassing issue to address. And so I think for parents, you know, that's where kind of keeping an eye on those sites is so vital. To kind of see what the conversation is, and are kids starting to focus on something that involves your child, noticing the signs of withdrawal, noticing not wanting to use electronics in your presence is always a big one. I'm always concerned about go ahead and just take your computer or your iPad to your room, and that's fine, because you don't know what's going on in there.
There's got to be temptation for many parents to pull the plug, the batteries, everything, and just, you know, go the route of the Luddites and say no to all of it. You know, wait till you're 16, wait till you're 18, something like that. Is that reasonable? I mean, is it reasonable to expect that would work?
I don't believe that it is. Mm-hmm. Children need to learn how they're going to live in this world, and the stakes are lower for a fourth grader than for a 17-year-old. You know, a 17-year-old, the kind of harassment or bullying that could come about is far more cruel than what happens in the younger years. And so we want to, and fourth graders don't guard their privacy so much. And so we want to start when we still have control and we still have a say in what's going on, and make sure that we as adults are a part of the process rather than just stopping the children from learning how to deal with it and then all of a sudden unleashing them out into the world.
We're talking about children and digital media and asking what's the right age? Well, what's the right time of life to let your kids join social media, own a cell phone, establish accounts online? Call us and tell us how you've handled this issue with your children and what the results were like. Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. You can also drop us a line online, knprnews.org, or use our Twitter handle, which is at @knprnews. Now, Catherine Hertlein, most adults notice that Facebook, Google, and many other online pages are personalizing the user experience, using it, in effect, to pitch appropriate ads, make other suggestions like potential friends. Are you concerned that the children may be getting tempted in ways that they don't fully understand with things like that?
I think that's probably pretty accurate. I think, you know, kids have a way of looking at the world without being able to see the whole picture because developmentally they can. I mean, I think even as adults, there's a lot of temptation on those sidelines of, you know, who to friend or advertisements. And it's difficult for me, being at the age I'm at, to sometimes kind of resist, you know, those ads, right? So for kids, I think that even becomes more complicated and more difficult. On the other hand, you also have to consider that kids are at a place where they, in some respects, are kind of egocentric. You know, they really are interested in kind of getting their own needs met at that time. And so in some ways, hopefully that might shield them from that experience. Maybe they're only interested in getting on and chatting with friends and that's it, and they don't care about the rest of it. So in some ways, that can maybe be a benefit.
Raul joins us from Las Vegas. Now, Raul, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Yes, I actually had an opinion about the iPads and the iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister who let them have the iPhones fairly young. I'm talking 7, 8 years old. And there's two kids that had the iPads at 7 or 8. They're already 11 and 12 years old. And then I got a brother who absolutely didn't allow them at all to have anything, any technology at all, and they're a little younger. But I've noticed that the kids that don't have the internet or any of the technologies, they talk to you. They're more of you know, you come over and they have things to say. They're more athletic as far. And my sister's kids that have the technology, I mean, it's just, You you don't talk to them, they don't say hi, they're always, you know, in their rooms or whatever, and they're kind of antisocial. I mean, does that have anything to do with giving them the iPhones and iPads too early?
Catherine Hertline?
I would think that probably has some part of that. You know, again, I don't know your sister, I don't know your brother, and I'm not sure about their parenting styles. They may differ completely. But one of the things that we learn about kids in terms of their development with regard to the introduction of technology is that this is where kids are learning to socialize, are learning to develop kind of relationships, learning to play together instead of playing independently with one another. And if you have figured out that at a relatively young age that you can be whoever you want to be, you can kind of escape into your own place fairly easily because the internet, iPad, iPhones are quite accessible, then you don't have any real reason to come out of that world if you're especially getting what you want and getting what you need. You also want to consider some of the challenges that it raises with regard to family interactions. I had a client in my office some time ago who had a cell phone. She was 5 years old, and she would get contacted by her dad quite regularly about visits with her. So he was using her as the mechanism for that rather than going through the mom because he didn't want to deal with the mom, right? And eventually she would just come in and show me the cell phone of times when he would scream at her. And she's, you know, 5, 6 years old. So that's another thing that you have to be thoughtful of. It's not just kind of the games or the iPads that kind of limit your interactions, but even interactions from immediate family.
Courtney Burns, is that a cautionary tale? Raoul's experience with the nieces and nephews, we can kind of tell which ones rely heavily on social media and which ones don't.
Oh, absolutely. But I think it is the same with anything, though. If a child is allowed to withdraw into the room and just watch television or just read books or, anytime the family environment allows for that kind of isolation, you're going to see a stunt in social development. I think the generation that's coming forward that has kind of grown up with this internet technology has definitely, their social skills are different than what they were a generation ago. And so there needs to be almost a more intentional look at those basic social skills and making sure that they have them. I know with my own children, we limit their internet time considerably, but we've been very intentional in teaching them eye contact and speaking skills and how you are introduced and how you make small talk, because that is escaping so many children.
So as a counselor at Faith Lutheran, what do you want parents to remember as they're trying to protect their kids and make sure they're using the internet properly? What do you tell parents?
Honestly, if you have a gut feeling that something is not okay, you need to pursue it. And the kids know that they are more tech savvy than their parents. They know how to lead their parents astray as they're trying to kind of figure out what's going on. And so I would encourage parents to, if they feel something is not correct, to be kind of relentless. Reach out to the school, reach out to the counselors, reach out to your children's friends, and make sure that you're seeing the big picture.
Courtney Burns is a counselor at Faith Lutheran High School in Las Vegas. Catherine Hertline is director of the Marriage and Family Therapy Program at UNLV, co-author of The Couple and Family Technology Framework, Intimate Relations in a Digital Age. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.